Thank you, Brother Steve. I'd like to thank this church for the opportunity to preach here and the food that I've had and the fellowship. I'd like to thank all the workers. Tim is amazing, and Kim, that's amazing what they're doing back there. And all the ladies, I would rather go to Chuck E. Cheese 7 days a week than do what they do back there with them kids. I'm telling you. When I first was asked to do some teaching, it was teenagers, and I did it with Brother Moore. He said one day, he said, "Do you want to go back and teach your teenagers?" I said, "No." But I did. I went back, and I realized that teenagers needed to be taught just like anybody else, and I believe that's what they do back there with them. And teenagers endure a lot because, you know, they got worms in their pants anyway, because it's hard for them to sit at a whole conference. So taking them out and giving them a break is really good, and I appreciate Obed and all them doing that. And I have been coming here, me and my wife and kids, since they were very little, and we do love the Atwoods. We've been with them for a long time, and I guess the first time I met Steve was at the Bible camp, probably, and we sweated it out together. But we've had a lot of good times, and he said that Kathy was his second wife one time. I had to go to Washington one time and do a black wedding, and while I did, he had my wife down here. So I didn't see how that worked out good for me, but however it did. But I do thank you for the opportunity to preach and teach, because I don't deserve it. But I don't think anybody that preaches and teaches deserves it. I think we all, it is quite a privilege to be able to stand and talk about the Word of God. We were sitting there talking about our age, and it reminded me of something. There was an old man on a park bench sitting there just crying his eyes out. And a lady walked up, and another man said, "What in the world's the matter with you?" And he says, "Oh, man, I married a 20-year-old, and she is probably the most nicest woman I've ever met in my life. She's very well produced. She is just loves me to death. She, when I come home, she takes wonderful care of me, cooks and everything." And he boo-hooed again. He says, "Well, what else?" I said, "Well, I have a lovely house. It's just wonderful." And he said, "Well, why are you crying?" He said, "I can't remember where it's at." So, if I forget some scripture, bear with me. All right. In John chapter 5. In John chapter 5. Kathy and I will be married 32 years the 1st of October. We used to celebrate our anniversary, I think, here, wasn't it? Or usually the conference used to be in October, didn't it? Or no, in Pensacola, that's where it was at. See, I already forgot. And so we're going to try to come up if you guys ever have a leaf change so we can see the leaves again this year. But I am thankful to God for my wife and my kids, but I'm thankful for the cross. I told my wife, sometimes I'm not very happy with myself. I should study a lot more than I do, because I do believe this Bible is so wonderful in its facts and everything. And sometimes I get to thinking about how we waste time. All right, in John chapter 5, look with me in verse 34. The Lord said, "But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself which has sent me hath bore witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not." Verse 39, I want to key up on this, is "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life." And I want to look at a couple of different things about searching the Scripture. And in this, but the key in the verse, I want you to key up with me as you watch, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." So it's in the Scripture. There's something in the Scripture that they're keying on that makes them think they have eternal life. Now turn with me to the book of John chapter 8. Now most anti-Jewish people believe John 8 to be the fact that the Jews are the cause of all the world problems.
The cause of all the world problems is sin. Everybody's born with it, and they had different manifestations of what we lust after. But in John chapter 8, the Lord speaks of verse 32, and you shall know the truth. Well, I go back to 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, and that is another thing you got to think about here. They believed on him. If you continue in my word, so this is a thing that's telling them you're going to have to continue in this. Now, I thank God for the book of Romans, chapter 8. I thank God for the Ephesian letter, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And like 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, 2 Corinthians 1:22, another passage where the brother was talking about being sealed. It's not a matter if I continue or continue not that I'm going to heaven. The Lord settled that issue. And I trust that. And like Paul said, that which I've committed unto him against that day, I'm not worrying about when I go to bed tonight whether I met up to the standard of God or not, whether I go to heaven or not. And I'm not worried whether I get up in the morning if I meet up the standard of God to get to heaven. I'm going to heaven because God said I am. And that's in the scriptures, and I got it. Okay? So what is he saying? Let's read on. He said, so they believed on him. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. You got to be kidding me, man. You know where they're at right now in this time writing? Why, Rome's got them tight as you can get them. And they're in bondage, but they can't see what he's talking about, no doubt. Now let's read on, he said. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Like Brother Dan was talking about, do you think he's making friends here? I mean, here's a man that's telling them, you seek to kill me. I mean, that'd be a walk up Steve saying, you know, you're seeking to kill me, Steve. Looking at what? I mean, they believe on him. But what is it in John chapter 5? He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think. In them. Have you ever asked anybody, are you saved, and they tell you the name of their church? Or where they walked an aisle at, or did something that supposedly is going to get them in the right relationship with God? And they think that that's the way. These people search the scriptures to see their heritage. What they had coming to them, you might say. Well, folks, I don't want to get what's coming to me. I want what the Lord did for me. All right? Now watch. He said in verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham do?
He believed.
God spoke to him. He believed it. Okay? Would Abraham try to kill him? Well, you think if Abraham was living in the day of the Pharisees of the Matthew 15 chapter we were reading today with the brother, do you think that Abraham would have tried to kill him? Abraham believed him. Okay? Now, verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. You ever anybody mad because you told him the truth? I was in Mount Ida, Arkansas it's been several months ago. I was invited to go to this new house that somebody had, and I teach a Bible class in Mount Ida, Arkansas every month, but we were going to this house, walked in there, and there was, I guess 25 people in there. And I noticed I walked in, there was a plate of cupcakes. Now, I'm going to get one of them later. Walked in there, started the Bible class. First thing out of their mouth, they hated me. All I did was read them Romans 3, 10, 11, and 12. There's none good, none righteous, you know, the whole thing. And this one guy, when he got done, he was saying, I don't care what you say, I'm of the tribe of Judah. I said, you're a liar. Well, he was. The woman, she's looking at me and she said, you're trying to impress us the fact that we can't keep the law. She said, I don't commit adultery every day. And I didn't think that would come out right, you know. And her husband sat right next to her, and I'm going, is it every other day, maybe? Whatever. And the guy sitting right over here beside me, I'm looking this way, his teeth are grinding. And he said, I don't like your delivery.
I said, okay, we can fix that right now. I said, would you read me Romans chapter 3, verse 21? Well, he read it, you know, after he found it. And he was mad. And I said, well, whose delivery are you mad at now? You read it. And he looked at me, rrr, you know. And one other lady, she piped up. She said, I'm going to ruin you with Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh. And I said, you might if I was in the flesh, but I'm not. And they didn't give me a cupcake. 20 minutes, and I was gone from there. But the one great spot of it was the husband and wife and the other man who just got saved about a week or two ago. The lady had never seen anything like that. And he, most of those people in there were his friends, and he just turned to them, and he said, you don't get it. He said, this man didn't come in here to hurt you. He come in here to show you the truth, and you didn't let him. I still didn't get a cupcake. Now, in John chapter 8, verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. The word father shows up in Matthew 23. There's a lot of Gentiles like to call a person father, ain't they? It says, call no man father. You know, that's a verse that's not saying the father art to be called father. It's saying, call no man your father. So every one of them is going to be held accountable for that. And it's in their Bible, by the way. Now, verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my words? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, he's not winning friends, like the brother was saying. He's just telling them the truth. He's just coming right out with it, and this is the way it is. Now, turn with me to Acts 17. So, those people searched the Scriptures to confirm their heritage. There's motives in searching the Scripture. Folks, when you read or you hear people on the radio and TV, a lot of those people are very intelligent on the Scriptures, and like he was talking about, the scribes and Pharisees, they knew the Scriptures. That wasn't the problem. But they don't believe it, and they don't use it right, and they handle it deceitfully. Like Paul said, we do not handle the Word of God deceitfully. And the thing that I love about grace preachers that I've been with all my life is they don't have a motive of trying to get you to do something or move you to do something else or keep you there by handling the Word of God deceitfully. They're trying to show you the truth. Why? Most preachers in here probably agree with me. You, as an individual, probably don't read like you should. You work. You work 8 hours or 10 hours a day. You don't feel like going home and read, because as soon as you open your Bible, you're going to sleep. The flesh will fight you on that. And then you decide to get up in the morning and read, and your belly begins to growl at you. And so the first thing you need to do is you got to feed me, man. And you get something in your belly, and then you want to go to sleep, like most of them you're probably thinking about right now, because you ate. But the things that we would, and see, that's Romans 7. Paul said, the things I would, I'll end up not doing it, because there's something always bothering us. And it's this rotten flesh that we dwell in. And so Paul said, I serve the law of God with my mind, but the law of sin with my members. And somebody said, well, I quit sinning. I said, you're a liar. And I said, even if you quit sinning, if you don't have the Lord as your Savior, you're going to die. And then, you know, they look at you, and I think Brother Jerry was talking about death had been abolished. And you try to show, you know, one of the greatest pieces of the gospel of peace is that death has been abolished for the believer. Folks, that's why death and hell show up in Revelation. There are people that are going into death because they just won't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. I can't help but think about over there in the worship of God. God is the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The word worship refers to a kiss. And there are different kinds of kisses in the Bible. There's a kiss where an individual had this house, and the absolute creator of heaven and earth walked into his house. How many of you, what would you do, what would you hide, or what would you clean up if Jesus came in your house tonight? Back when I was growing up, it'd be the Sears catalog.
For you old timers, you know what I mean. They'd hide the sear because it had them pictures in it, you know. And, I mean, you know, gotta get the Sears catalog, the preacher's coming. But, I mean, this man, his name's Simon, however you want Simon, this man has the creator of heaven and earth, has walked into his house, and is standing there. And a woman is down on her knees, crying with such tears that they're enough to wipe with her hair, and she kisses his feet. Many months, years ago, we had a foot washing. Say, done gone nuts. Oh, did it for a purpose. Took my deacon, a pan and a rag there. I said, would you come up here? And I said, would you let me wash your feet? There was no purpose in it. I mean, I was trying to get him clean. I said, this and take a shower or whatever. I was trying to prove the point. I washed his feet on my knees. And you ever seen the expression on his face? We are so haughty, like they're raising the holy hands. Paul, four verses in that Bible says, kiss all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, you don't have to literally slobber on people. That could be a forgiveness. It could represent forgiveness, a kiss of forgiveness. Why? There's one of them in here. But Simon is telling what's going on here, and the Lord said to him, when I entered into your house, you never offered me any water to wash my feet. And you have never kissed me. The book of Psalm chapter 2, I believe it's the last verse, says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. He said, you never kissed my feet. Oh, my Lord, thanks. The Creator of heaven and earth is in your house. And you've got the opportunity to give him a hug. Get down on your knees and kiss his feet for what he did for you. And you're just as apt not to even talk about him during the week. He said, this woman, since the time I've been here, has been crying and wiping my feet and legs with her hair, and she has kissed my feet. Now, that's a kiss that was missed. Are you listening? It was missed. It's an opportunity. You know, there are so many people that go through this world and never forgive their brethren. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And they hold a grudge, and they won't do this or they won't do that because they don't want nothing to do with them. But they can sing it, oh, how I love Jesus. Another kiss in this Bible is based on the fact that a man who had the great privilege of hearing the words of Jesus Christ and seeing the miracle that he performed exchanged his eternal destiny of eternal life with the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. A betrayal kiss, a kiss of betrayal. In the tribulation, I expect that'll be happening, don't you? A lot of betrayal of the brethren. They won't make it. A lot of them be betrayed and probably be dying for the betrayal of the one that denies his right to go into eternity, or at least a kingdom, because the money meant more. Then there was another kiss. There was a young son, two boys in the family. The young one, probably a teenager. He looked out and he said, Father, give me my share of life. I want to go out and have a good time. Well, the father gathered up and divided it and gave it to him and said the boy went out and riotous living. And when he had spent all, he realized, I have nothing to eat. So he went to work for someone in a hog farm. And he landed up, he was having to eat corn, or about to eat the corn husks. And I love the word it says, and he came to himself. By the way, when I was growing up, hippies had to go out and find themselves. Now they're yuppies. Probably some of the richest people in the world. They went out and found something, all right? Found out Bill Gates' computer work. He came to himself. He came to realize, listen, there's something better than this. There's something better than what I'm doing right now. And he said, my father has many servants, and he pays them well. They eat. I'll go back if he'll let me and work for his as a servant, and at least I'll eat. But he didn't know what the father would. He figured the father would be mad at him still. And so he goes on his journey and he comes and he's a distance off. And the father says, oh my goodness, that's my son. And he looks at him and he runs out and he grabs him. The son didn't expect it. And he said, Father, I can work for you and eat. And he said, go. And he told his servants, he said, go and kill a fatted animal and we'll eat and be merry. Is that better than eat with the hogs?
Those are kisses of worship, folks. These Pharisees, these people that were searching the Scripture, they were searching to see, make sure their heritage was right.
So are you saying, well, I'm a Baptist. So? I'm a Methodist. So? I'm a Presbyterian. So? Say, well, what'd you do? How'd you get saved? Well, I walked the aisle and I asked Jesus in my heart and I turned from my sins and repented and got baptized. Really? What did God do? And they look at you and say, well, what do you mean, what did God do? I said, what did God do for you? Thinks I'm looking out here and I'll bet you there's somebody out here that right now is not sure whether God forgave you or not. You went out and did your rightest living. Probably similar to Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And in your mind, you know you've done some things wrong. So if you can just get it right, if my goodness can outweigh my bad, I'll be all right. I'm looking at somebody, and I thought about a time when I was riding on the Lost Highway. If you don't know where that's at, it's in Montgomery. It is. The Lost Highway. Hank, see, designated the Lost Highway. Of course, he's not talking about that. The Lost Highway, I was riding along when I was a boy. I was about 18 years old. And I was riding with a man. And this man that I was riding with had just got out of the penitentiary. I was working with him. I hadn't been in the penitentiary with him yet. Don't get me wrong there. And I was riding along with him in the Hammer Lane. For you that don't know, that's the fast lane. And we come along here, and a guy come up beside us in the right-hand lane. And for some reason, I turned and looked at him. For some reason, he turned and looked at me. And we looked each other right in the eye. And when I looked at him, I just, you know, you sized him up. He looked like an average Joe, but I just looked at him. We just looked at him. And so he just kept on going. He was going faster than we were. And so I guess about 10 minutes later, all this, see the smoke up front of us. Oh, just a big puff of smoke. Dark, black, oily looking. We pull up. This guy has hit a car in the rear that's on the side of the road. Bam! Just slammed him. We get there, we pull over, get out. This man that I saw is laying on his back, and his nose is cut off from the steering wheel. And he's as blue as that man's sugar, and he's dead. And I thought, why did I look at him? Why did he look back? Maybe I'm looking at somebody that you ain't going to make it. Somebody in here is going to be the first to die. That's a guarantee. That's fine. Somebody here will be the first to die in the church. Sometime, somewhere. I looked at that man, and I'm 18 years old, and I go, wow. And they had killed him by laying him on his back. He drowned in his own blood. The man that he hit had burned himself real bad, getting his family out because the car was on fire. And I sat there and looked, and I said, man, life is short. You never know. I've been in motorcycle wrecks. I've been in car wrecks. Been in train wrecks, a bunch of them. I've been in all kinds of scrapes like that. And God wasn't ready to give up. And one day, a man showed me the truth. And for the first time in my life, I didn't walk away from it. Brother E.C. Moore, as I worked for him one night in Fairhope, Alabama, was preaching on a message. And I was sitting there in my normal place. The house was kind of like a horseshoe with chairs all around. And I would sit here, Brother Moore would be right here, and I'd run the tape recorder. And as he preached, I kept thinking, why don't I have any peace about this? Why don't I know for sure what will happen to me? And so I tried to bargain with the Lord. The Lord don't bargain. There's nothing to bargain about. Folks, when you bargain, you're trying to get something. There's nothing to be got. It's done. And so I said, Lord, I might not have been in the right mood those times when I confessed to you. So here it is, Lord, I'm trying to lay it out just as smooth as I can. And he didn't answer. And so we got in the van, driving down the road, heading towards Pensacola from Fairhope on I-10. I'm driving, a bunch of people in the van, they don't know, I don't even see the highway. I'm just driving. Luckily, the Lord's keeping it on the road, I guess. And I said, Lord, why don't I have peace about this? Lord, I'm working in a ministry. Lord, I'm affiliated with Brother Moore, can't he read minds? Some people think, I guess. I said, Lord, why can't I have peace about this? And it hit me. The reason you can't have peace about it is because you won't trust me. Turn to the gospel of your salvation, will you? Good to hear paper stirring. The gospel of your salvation, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Brother Steve and Mark and I went and did that one time, and there wasn't no paper turning. Yeah, they were laughing about it. I go, whoa! 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand,
by which also you're saved, if you keep remembering what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. Okay? So does the Scripture declare it? Okay? And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. All right, what did Jesus Christ do for you there? Well, then why do you have to die for your sins? Brother Jerry read it, abolished death, didn't he? Then why are you worried about dying for your sins? Somebody asked me one time, why do you ride a motorcycle? I said, because I like to. They said, ain't it dangerous? And I said, so's living. Well, don't tell me you're going to get home. Prove to me you're going to get home. I may have to leave tonight and drive all the way back. Somebody says, that's a long drive. Yeah, well, I may not go either. I may get up early in the morning and do it. Make sure I'm going to get home. Just because I leave tonight or in the morning, don't make sure I get home. Somebody in here going to die first. You got a ways to go home, ain't you? Can you prove to me that your car will make it? Can you prove to me that there ain't some psychopath out there that decides that the front end of your car is a good battering ram? Can you prove to me that you're going to get in your car and get to the motel without an aneurysm or a heart attack? Put no hands? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, let's search your Scripture. Let's see what happens here. Paul said in verse 1, we then, there's that then that the brother was talking about, see, so we might go back to chapter 5 and look in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away. What do you consider passed away being associated as? Dead? Okay. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. If you talk to the average fellow, he doesn't know what reconciliation is unless he went to a lawyer, and then he'd find out real quick. In verse 19, to wit that God was in who? Was God in Christ? But was God out of heaven? No, God was in Christ. Wasn't he? Well, then it must have been the blood. Reckon it was the blood of Christ and the blood of God? Did he purchase somebody with his own blood? Well, then if God was in Christ, why would he get in Christ? Why would he be in Christ in the verse? He's reconciling who? Are you in the world or out of the world? Some people think they're just out of the world, man. Are you in the world? Then what was God doing? He was reconciling you unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. How do you confess on that? There is a confession in the Bible. That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou should be saved. What do you need to believe that would surely make the gospel complete? If he just died for you, folks, I can do that for you. What is it? Raised from the dead. Jesus told Paul to tell us, remember, Jesus of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You know, I hear the full gospel. Full gospel to me is Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. They may have a fuller one. I don't know. Whatever. But in this verse, what will God not impute to you? Doesn't that match the Colossian letter? You know, the amazing thing about the Apostle Paul's letters is there's six over here and six over here, and there's a lovely letter on top. And that lovely letter has been avoided by most preachers for many times. All the time I remember, I never got on the radio and somebody said, let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 2. And it's the highlight of the Colossians day when they read it. Go to Colossians chapter 2 and let's see. Colossians chapter 2. It has to match in searching the Scriptures what he said in 2 Corinthians. He's not imputing their trespasses. So in Colossians chapter 2 verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision in your flesh. Was it an issue about uncircumcision at one time? Absolutely. The uncircumcised. And what would a circumcised call you if you were uncircumcised? Uncircumcised. You know, you don't have to be brilliant to figure that one out, but whatever. All right. Uncircumcised in your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you what? Ain't that peace? What's the gospel of peace? He died for our sins. And he's not imputing our trespasses unto us. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Let's search it here. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That is what we talked about on the railroad thing. You got to have your meats right. Well, I like to meet a car on my motorcycle when I'm in my lane and he's in his. Because Otherwise, somebody's going to get hurt. And I figure it'll be me. I've always figured that car wins. And that's usually what it is. But never forget, anytime you go across a train track, train wins. Okay? Verse 13, he said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? That turns out to be, if we search the scriptures, Acts 26. Why did he send Paul to the Gentiles? Put your finger there just a minute. Let's see how this thing works. In Acts 26, someone said today about the people and Israel. All right, in Acts 26:16, the Lord said, but rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people. Who was that? Israel, Jews. And from the Gentiles. Well, why did he have to be delivered from the Gentiles? They didn't like him either. Folks, you know, it's a reciprocating thing. If the Jews called you uncircumcised, then you're going to call him circumcised. And neither one of them is going to get along. I mean, do you care whether a Jew likes you or not, really? Well, back then, if a Jew didn't like you, when God, and that was God's people, then God didn't like you. God's not concerned whether a Jew likes you or not. I mean, here I hear this, what is that preacher in Texas? He's always blessing Israel or whatever. Well, what good does that do? He blesses you and die and go into death just as sure as you're dying. I mean, you're dying in it. That ain't going to help you. Look at verse 17. Deliver thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Matches John 13:20. All right, to open their eyes. Now, what did God send Paul to the Gentiles to do? I wonder if the devil can read. Do you reckon the devil figured that out? Does he know that if Paul's message gets to a Gentile, it'll do something? It'll open their eyes. But you see, that's not the only thing in the verse. Open their eyes. Turn them from darkness to light. So they're walking in darkness. They're walking around in darkness. I mean, folks, because if you're starting to come here with Brother Steve in this church, you're going to have your eyes open because he is not going to preach to you Old Testament, which is going to keep you blinded. He's going to show you messages that will be presented to open your eyes, set you free, and turn you from what? To light. And from who? Unto who? God. And all of that has to be done so that you can receive forgiveness of sin. You see, folks, there are people around you that are searching the Scriptures, and if you told them that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, they'd say, I believe that. But they do not understand that they're forgiven. They believe they've got to get forgiveness by doing something. That is not what that verse said. Paul's message will open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive what? You're sitting out there, and you've done something to get forgiveness, you're still blinded. And you aren't invited here haphazardly. You were invited here that God would let you see. This is not a church, Brother Mark's church, Brother Jerry's, mine. It's not a church that we're trying to build. It's a place for you to come and hear the fact that before you were born, somebody died, buried, and rose again the third day, and it satisfied God. He gave you access to it. He will not impute your trespasses. You have what Colossians chapter 1 says. Turn back here just a second. In Colossians chapter 1. And I love the word even in the verse. In Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Isn't that what you just read in Acts 26? Okay. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You don't even need Scotty to beam you up. When God gets ready, you're going. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Next word. Even the forgiveness of sins. Are you forgiven?
Amen.
Are you sure? Or have you been searching the scriptures to show God how much you know? How much do you know? I can tell you how much you know. If you're blinded, you don't know nothing. You can memorize the whole Bible, folks. I hear guys quote the Bible. I'll quote the Bible. I said, yeah, well, who's he talking to? What do you mean, who's he talking to? They're just quoting the book. I had a lady one time tell me, she said, I read that Bible 6 times. So really, I said, what do you think about Paul? Paul who? I said, Paul, you're an apostle. Oh no, Jesus, I follow Jesus. I said, you probably are another Jesus. You see, you follow the earthly Jesus, and that's another Jesus. You follow an angel, he probably didn't deliver you the right one. Turn to Revelation, I'll show you something. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the thing which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. I can't help but think about the structure of this. It's God, Jesus Christ, angel, John, servants. When you get to thinking about some things, you consider the fact of inspiration of the Scripture based on wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Wisdom is by the Word, and it's inspired. Folks, you have an inspired Word laying on your lap. And God didn't mean to say. He said what He meant. And it don't matter whether one of us and these preachers in here know the Greek and Hebrew or whether we can absolutely just astound you. It has nothing to do with that. That Word was inspired and written down for our admonition and learning. And if you'll preach the Word, they'll get it. The wisdom based on the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is the teacher. Taught Paul. Taught him. Folks, he had several visions. How about knowledge? You ever read Ephesians chapter 3? I think somebody was reading it this morning or yesterday. He said, whereby you may understand my knowledge. I'll bet you that Paul's knowledge, by the inspiration of God to him, through his Son, will work for us as servants. Well, that's all we are. We're sons of God, but we're servants. Aren't we to serve the living God with joy? The Apostle Paul joyed. They told him, he said, you're going to go up there, you're going to get bound, you're going to be in trouble. And he said, I'm bound by the Spirit, in the Spirit. I know what's going to happen to me, but I joy. And I look forward to the fact that I serve my Lord. And he knew that one day the Lord would take him out. And that old thing that fought him all those days would be changed and gone. I looked for the day. I hope you don't take this wrong. Somebody asked me, how come Brother Moore didn't die? I said, maybe the Lord's going to take us out alive with Brother Moore. I mean, I love Brother Moore. I sat under him for many years. I met him when I was 16. And it breaks my heart that he's not even sitting out here because I used to look at him when I was preaching. I used to have to preach with him sitting right there. Every Sunday. And he will correct you. Right? How many of you have been rawed out a little bit? I miss him. I miss everybody I don't get to see. I miss Brother Steve, Mark, Jerry. Too far to go to Texas. That's across the world. But I just want you to know, if you're in here and you're not sure you're forgiven, be assured by the Scriptures that God hath forgiven you for Christ's sake. And you can walk out of here tonight and go to bed and never worry about it again. And if something does happen, you are the first in here, you are going to the Father courtesy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate you. Let me preach.